Father in heaven, it's good to laugh. Father, we invoke your name as the creator of culture. You are the God of Koreans. You are the God of Americans. You are the God of all humanity. So, Father, we ask that you continue to give us a sense of humor, to be able to laugh about some of these differences. And, Lord, grant us the keen insight to see through culture and to see the kingdom of heaven and to embody the gospel message. Father, should any person in this room not be where we should be in our walk with you, we ask that you use this medium and to convict us on all sorts of things. But we want to dwell with you. And even if there's some element in our hearts where we don't want to dwell with you, we ask that you convert us continually and to allow our minds and our hearts to resonate and to sync up with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So there is a Chinese artist who grew up in Germany. Her name is Yang Liu. She has a whole art exhibit. And she was talking about, as a Chinese person, she grew up in her teens and she felt that she was Chinese. But when she went to Germany, she just experienced a whole different world. And she's giving this artistic representation on the differences between East and West. The exhibit is called East Meets West, or West Meets East, whatever, one meets the other. So the blue is the German side, and then the red is the Chinese side. She writes in Chinese and German, and this is Lebensstil. This is what the worldview, the life of the Western person, is the individual. Their frame of reference is always inside out. Me first, and then it's not me in terms of like theological me, it's not selfish, it's just the individual is where reality starts from. Now on the Eastern side, reality does not start from the individual, reality starts from the corporate group. Now you may be thinking, how is that possible? But this is how Asians function. The reality always starts from the group, and then comes how does the group view me? Different perspective, yes? And this impacts our spiritual lives, our family, I mean, everything. So this is where it starts. So for example, this is a German camp meeting lunch, yes? And this is a Korean camp meeting lunch, as you see, okay? Germans in the Western world, they believe in individualism, and so they're an organization. So when we're distributing something, automatically, without instructions, people get in line. Hana, 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 hana. But in Asia, that is so inefficient. Why do I have to wait in line when I can just go to the eggs and French toast right and ignore all these people waiting in line? It's more efficient. Now it's meant to be humorous, but this has missiological ramifications. That when there were Western missionaries that went to China and they're giving out rice, all these Chinese came in and it's just like, you know, 단체로 모였어요. You know, just came in as a group. And these Westerners are like, these guys are primitive. Why don't they learn to get in line? They're, you know, elbowing each other and getting in and whatnot. This even happened in Korea where the first IKEA opened in IKEA. And I don't know what it is about Koreans and free, but they said, you know, when you have the, when you, we Americans don't, Korean Americans don't notice it, but when you go into an IKEA, you have those little survey, and you have those little golf pencils that are really, really cheap, and it's, you use the golf pencil to write your survey, but it said free pencils, right? So these Koreans all went to IKEA, not to shop at IKEA, but to get a free pencil. And this made the international news. I'm like, why? Korea is now affluent. They don't need to get free pencils, especially the small little golf cheap ones. So they all came in, and they're not waiting in line. They're all in like just all around this small little plexiglass stand trying to get that free pencil. It's just in the mentality that, hey, it's more efficient if we all go together than wait in line. But the Western definition of efficiency is everyone get in line and get your stuff one at a time. So it's not one is better than the other, but there is a cultural difference between the two. Another picture is you see here. This is your version of self. So ich, I, the version that Westerners see themselves as like the whole world. The Easterners really don't see themselves as an individual. This is a form of communication that Westerners, when they say A and they want to get to B, they just explain A to B. But for Easterners, they have to explain everything else that's going around because they have a holistic way of explaining a certain part, a scenario. For example, you know, I had this interaction with my parents. I'm like, hey, I met Pastor so-and-so today. That was all I wanted to say. Thank you so much. I met Muksanim today. And he's like, who's that? What church is he from? Where's his wife? Where are kids? Did he take a plane or did he take a van? I don't know any of this information. All I said, I met him today. Well, what time did you meet him? Was it after lunch or before? Why does it matter? Like, I just met him. But for him, all these details impact his future interaction with that pastor. Does that make sense? And for him, he needs to know all the information to be up to date so that when he has an interaction, he says, oh, my son told me you took an airplane at 4 o'clock and you were with your wife and da-da-da-da. And then that helps his future interaction with him, whereas for me, I was like least common denominator information and just straightforward. Okay, there is a little bit of male-female dynamics here, but there is also a cultural element as well. This is social interactions. So, for example, in a Western context, I am friends with these two people. She's friends with those people. Friends with blah, blah, blah. But in an Eastern context, we're all friends with everybody. And there's no, like, it was just disconnected. So if one person wants to do some kind of social interaction, it affects everybody. Yes or no? Yes. Now, this is the basis for a lot of social interactions at Korean church, right? And so my wife and I go to an American, you know, regular international, you know, non-Korean church. And I was like, hey, let's invite so-and-so and so-and-so. So that's just my mind. Like, I like them, let's invite them. Like, okay. But my wife and the Koreans, well, what if this person hears, and this is this person's sister, and this person goes to this person's Sabbath school, and we need to invite the whole church over. I'm like, what? How did it go from two families to 200 people? This is not the way it should be. But this is just the way their social interactions work. This is partying, where in a Western context, you just interact with two people here, and you sip, and you go get some food, and you interact with two other people there, and whatnot. In Eastern context, you have group games. Yes? And you need a leader. I'm like, guys, it's now game time. Let's get in a circle. And in automatic, and Korean Americans, a funny thing, even though we're in this paradigm, we like that social interaction. Or the other way, we're in this paradigm. You guys are all looking at me like, no. We like this. And it's very interesting that Korean Americans are a hybrid and somewhere in between these two things. So we went to an American get-together, and there was no formality, no games, nothing. And I'm just like hanging out with this person. Da, 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 da. And my wife was sitting on the sofa and waiting the whole time. She's like... So what's the next event that's going to happen? I'm like, no, we're just here to chill and relax and hang out and enjoy the music, enjoy the, you know, veggie cheese and veggie, you know, champagne, whatever we're having. And she's like, so there's no games or anything? No, no. And she's like, Elmer, you should start one. I'm like, I am not going to start a game, right? But here's the funny thing. Westerners like that also. You all know, there's always that... There's always a Westerner like, this is great, like there's this game, and Koreans know, and it's not a Korean thing, Japanese and Chinese and Vietnamese, they have a similar thing. They just like this corporate formality to just hang out. Very, very interesting. This is the vision, the perspective of the boss. This is called power distance. So in the Western context, if you're the pastor, the boss, the president, the physician, you're higher, but just a little bit higher. And in many ways, you call them by their first name, right? But in the Eastern context, if you're the person in charge, you are super high. And so at the General Conference, very interesting that when we have, you know, world meetings coming together, people from Europe, Australia, Canada, America, when they encounter President Elder Ted Wilson, who is our GC president, they call him, hey, Ted. What's going on, Ted? Yeah? And you guys know this. For them, it's a matter of equality. We're that friendly that I can call you Ted. Now, people from Africa, Latin America, and Asia, I mean, they're like, and then they bow down, and they will never say, hey, Ted. They say, greetings in the name of Jesus, Elder President Pastor Ted Wilson. I mean, it's just this different interaction. Koreans, when I see them, they get really quiet and like, nah, nah, and they get really short and their sentences get really short and they just, you know, a handshake and they don't want to interact anymore. Africans go all out. I mean, it's just that there's a different, it's power distance. It has nothing to do with education or lack of education thereof, okay? This is when how to interact with a problem. So if you have a problem, if this is a very, and the Germans may take this even more extreme, but if there is an issue to resolve, you hit it straight on. And the more straightforward you are, the more efficient you are to resolve the issue. In the Asian context, most likely is if you avoid it, it'll naturally go away on its by itself. And sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. Other times it comes back larger. Okay, and so Westerners will view this as avoidance. Easterners will view this as being too straightforward and always bringing up a problem all the time. And so when Westerners work in an Eastern context, we have a Korean-American friend of mine, she worked at the Korean university, and every time there was a staff meeting, she would raise her hand like, look, we got to address this problem, this and this and this and this and this and this, and how come you as administrator are not doing anything? Well, number one, she's just insulted all of them. Two, she insulted them in public, shame. And three, she brought up a problem. Okay? And so you're going to think, how do you bring up a problem? And this affects church board meetings in Korea. You don't go to a church board and just mention all your problems. They'll just peg you as a problem maker. Even though you're not the one making the problem, you're the one bringing the problem up. So they just want to just go away, and then the problem goes away with him. Okay? So in an Eastern context, there's a different way to bring up problems rather than just raising your hand and doing so. This is what happens in old age. The Westerners, you retire and you raise a dog and you just enjoy life, whereas Easterners, you have to raise your grandchildren, okay? So this is just maybe not all culturally. I don't know if this really affects someone. This is for fun. In the West, if it's sunny outside, you're happy, and if it's raining, you're depressed. But in Asia, your mood has nothing to do with the weather. And my wife said it's very interesting. Why do people in the West always talk about the weather? Like the weather is this perpetual conversation. It's a safe thing to talk about always. And there, you know, some people can talk about the weather for hours. And I pray that you not meet any of those kind of people. So this is another one. When you are feeling angry, Westerners have an angry facial expression and they convey anger outside. Easterners, when they're feeling angry, they're always smiling. Okay, so there's a dissonance on what's on the inside and the outside. Now, Westerners will view this as duplicitous and fake and having two-faced hypocrisy. But Easterners are saying, I have to protect all other people from my negative anger or whatever. So I don't want to share all this stuff out, so I'll just pretend to be smiling, and I don't want to pudam anyone. I don't want to burden anyone with my issues. So that's the difference there. When people want an apple, they say, I want an apple. If he or she says she's okay, but she really wants some breakfast, but she says, I'm okay. So there's that dissonance. I had this issue with my mother-in-law. She came and she said, hey, I'll make you food. And I said, it's okay, right? And you have to say it's okay. Apparently 3 to 4 times to really, that's a real Korean no. But I know it's okay. And so I went. And then she just made this entire humongous meal, and I'm like, but I'm not hungry. I'm okay. And so in my American perspective, I just went to my room, and so I thought maybe she was going to eat it or whatever, and she had just made it for me, and then she was really upset that you didn't even taste any of my food, and so she's like fuming in her whatever, and I'm like, but I didn't ask her to make food. I'm not hungry. Maybe I'll eat it later. You know, I'm just being functional. But there's that dissonance. The other thing is my father-in-law, hey, would you like an apple? And he said no. So then I didn't offer him an apple. And it literally, not because of this, I said, would you like an apple? We went to an apple farm. And he said no. So I didn't ask him again. And later on I found he was really mad because he wanted an apple the whole time. But I didn't ask him a second time and a third time and a fourth time. And so he was like, and because he can't ask, he's like, can I have that apple? That would be a point of shame for him. He already said no, so he can't be like, well, actually, I want one. So he's just there, like, waiting for me to ask the whole time. So there is a communication issue. At the restaurant, the Westerners are very quiet. Easterners are very loud. Breakfast and dinner, especially Germany, is usually cold. And lunch is always hot. Because that's a German thing. That's not an American thing. I don't think we have cold dinners in America. But in Asia, every meal is a hot meal, especially breakfast. You need to have kook with pap, and that's kind of a nice breakfast. Not this, you know, bang and croissant with coffee. That's not breakfast. That's kanshik. And so this is just art that she just kind of made that really doesn't have any function. This is Asia. On the left, you have a Fu Manchu guy, a tea kettle, and rice, and you got a German, you know, Lederstocken, whatever that's called, a sausage and some beer. In the West, you know, birds are nice to look at. In the East, you eat them. In the West, you enjoy the sun. You want to get as tan as possible. In the East, you avoid it like cancer. So darker skin is considered to be beautiful in the West, but whiter skin is considered to be more beautiful in the East. For entertainment, people watch TV in the West, or really streaming online TV now. But in the East, you go to Norebang. And for vacations, Westerners like to, you know, look at things, whereas Asians take pictures of everything. Transportation, we used to ride cars, and now we ride bikes. But in Asia, they used to ride bikes, and now they ride cars. I mean, that's actually changing in China now, where no longer people are riding bikes, they're riding cars, which is causing a lot of issues. So this is a little dated, but it's still fun to look at. This is kind of point of reference of time. So when you say, hey, we will meet at 10:30, you know, the more American you are and the more acclimated you are to Western society, you will be there at 10:30 or most likely 10:25, a little bit earlier. But Asians consider like, oh, that's like 10시 반쯤. There's a gym in there, which is like really, you know, 10:30 to 11 o'clock is where you should arrive. And so time is not, it's a philosophical perspective. The time is not an entity. Okay. In Greek philosophy, time is an actual tangible reality. It's measured. It's tangible in a sense. And so Greek perspective of the Sabbath is a lot more profound in that sense. Whereas the Asian perspective is time is a relational entity. Okay, I won't get too much into it. So then Sabbath in an Asian perspective is not sundown to sundown, an ontological reality, but is a relational experience with God from Friday night to Sunday. It's a different perspective, but it comes from two different worlds. So here you have this chart, and this is from a dissertation from a guy, and there's Asian and Western. The Asians are situation-centered. This makes them sound like Asians are situational ethicists. I'm not saying that. Each situation is different. So when I'm interacting with Tom and Susan, that is all different interaction when I'm interacting with Jacob and Helen. Like, these are two different situations. Whereas in the West, it's like, it's me. I'm just interacting with them, but it's still me interacting with them, so I'm always the same. Whereas in Asian perspective, you're always kind of changing and adapting to where people are. So I'm just going to read down here, but Asians are collective, they have a group identity, the achievement of goals is set by others, and there's an obligation to the group. Now, this is very interesting, and I'll just mention, this is my experience. About 3 years ago, I got invited to work at the General Conference, the world headquarters for the Adventist Church, and when I went, my Western friends are like, hey, God bless you. Hey, that's amazing. You must be proud. It's not an achievement in any sorts, but people were saying that. They didn't know what to say. So like, hey, it was all based on me, my accomplishment, whatever. All right, whatever. When I went to the Korean perspective, they said, we are proud that Korean people are represented at Korean world headquarters. I'm like, what? It's like, you are Korean. I am Korean. Korea is now at the GC. I'm like, what? So when they see individuals, they're not individuals. They're the extension of Korea. So even if you're half Korean, you're still an extension of Korea in some way. So there's a collective mentality that your accomplishments are not your own. If you graduated with medical degrees and law degrees, you didn't do it by yourself. We all helped you do it. That's the mentality you're coming from. Whereas the Western perspective, a Korean American is like, man, I studied for 8 years and I went through residency and I did MCAT and I did all that. He's like, myself. And then the parents are like, you're welcome. I helped you with that. That's just the, there's a dissonance in that. And then there's an obligation to the group. So there's expectation. Since you are now accomplished and I helped you, now you need to help me back. And then from our perspective, it's like, why do I have to help you? You just create a line and you tell them to go away. So there's a difference of that. There's a duty obligation. There's a relational responsibility, duty to others, motivation based on obligation. Okay. And this is something that's very fascinating. Korean Americans do not know the amount of obligation that Koreans oblige others. It is an enormous weight of obligation. In the Western context, I mean, we may have like one or two or three obligations, and we're like, oh, this is such a burden. But it is, we don't have it to the degree. And it's very difficult for us to understand that. And we'll talk about a little bit later what that means. There's a hierarchy. We talked about submissive to authority, emphasis on positions and relationships, accepts rules and propriety. We'll talk about what that means, propriety. And there's a passivity and yieldedness, adherence to social politeness, emphasis on self-effacement. This deference is the natural social default. And that, this is what's interesting. Korean Americans adopt this wholeheartedly. Okay. For example, heard any prayer requests in here? Passivity. Right? I don't want to say anything. And usually the one that says, I do, and I mentioned yesterday, you know, I was at a black church, and there's one lady, can you pray for my husband? He's sleeping around. Can you pray for my son? He's in jail. I'm like, that is not passivity. That is engagement and a reality. And then when Asians see that, they use, oh, 눈치 없어. 어머머머, 그거를 왜 여기 와서 그런 얘기를 하고 있지? They say these kind of things. But from that world perspective, it's like, hey, I'm an individual. I am going through these things, so you're asking me for a prayer request, and I will tell you what my prayer request is. But from the Asian perspective, it's like, what is everyone thinking about me? They asked a prayer request question? Can you pray for my son? He just got into Harvard Medical School, and we just want to pray for him. You know, can you pray for my daughter? She just married, you know, BTS boy, and I want to pray for it. So it becomes this prayer request become a little skewed because it's not your personal need, but it's a public announcement program that you have. Okay, but it's very interesting. Korean Americans they take that box and they just really adopt that. This is something that they have been born with. Perhaps that when Korean Americans do stick up, they get slapped to go back down. So we've just been trained to just not say anything. And the Western perspective is, and this will sound very, 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 a matter of fact. Individual autonomy, achievement of individual goals, trained to be individuals. So the minute that our parents raise us up to about when they go to school, they're trained really as Koreans. We were all Korean trained when we were little, right? But the minute they let us go to preschool, I mean, I remember when I went to preschool, I got my name tag with my name on it. I mean, individuality starts from there. Okay, you get your own box, your own bag. Okay, you ask a question. Okay, what do you think? What do you think? What's your favorite color? So individuality is bred into the education. So when we come back home, and it's like, mommy, my favorite color is like, I don't care what your favorite color is. Our family believes in, and then there's this dissonance of values between the two. Okay, rights and privilege, responsibility to self, personal rights, motivation is based on feelings. There's equality, dislike for rules and control, play down superiority, inferiority, and you question authority. It is a very American thing to question authority. Our country was based on questioning authority. Yes? England, get out of here. We are our own people, right? And so you have this rebelliousness that's couched under democracy and republicanism and all that stuff. But we are interacting with our Korean parents who do not believe in rebellion at all. And then lastly, you have self-exertion, aggressive, expressive, assertive, open, and accessible to others. So if you like communicate with your hands and you can just articulate really well and you use your voice, and especially public speaking, these are not really Korean virtues. These are very American virtues to have. And if you're aggressive and you're forceful in your argumentation, they kind of think you, they are kind of scared, and they think, man, wow, he must be educated by the Western side. Yeah. Korean communication is, you know, you've watched Korean pastors, yes? How do they preach? They stand behind here, and they don't move. They do fluctuate their voice, which is good, but they just kind of stand here, and they rarely use your hands. But if they do, it's more like, you know, this, and just a variation of this, like a 90s hip-hop dancer. But it's an American communication is you got to move and interact with people as much as possible. So this is a very interesting diagram that this guy came up with. So there are differences of, and we talked about there are first generation and 2.0 generation people. And I was talking to, I think it was Chris, there's different versions. You know, some of you are 1.3, 1.7. I am 2.0. My wife is definitely 1.0, and now we have our kids, and the question is, they're not 3.0, they're more like 2.5, because you have the if you do the mathematics, you guys know what I'm talking about. But there are sociological definitions of each generation. So the first generation willingly works hard. And by the way, I pastored a Romanian church, and I've had other people groups, and there's a difference between Korean, motherland Korean, and an immigrant Korean. And that immigrant Korean is not unique to Koreans. It is the immigrant mentality for all nations. Japanese immigrants, Portuguese immigrants, Romanian immigrants, there's something about if you're an immigrant, you have a different mentality. You have to actually have some fortitude to leave your mother country, learn a new language, raise your kids in a foreign land, eat weird food, and hang out with people who smell differently than you do. It's a different kind of mentality, mindset to have. So they realize they are already disadvantaged. They are on the lower end of society. So diligence is the way to excel in society. So they have to work hard. Yes? Children should show gratitude for those struggles. This is a natural expectation that they have. But here's the thing. In the Korean culture, they never articulate it to you because it's not a direct communication. Now, this is very interesting. How many of you, and I think this is funny, that how many of your churches you have, like, you remember in your old churches that you have, like, Mother's Day or Father's Day Sabbaths, right? And then, or even on TV, on Korean TV, KBS or MBS or whatever, NBC or whatever there is. And then when the parent is encouraged to look into the camera and share some words to their children, right? This was always very interesting for me. Because Western parents, if they have words of affection or love, they just tell their kid, right? You were special. I love you. But Koreans can't do that. That's almost a violation. It's awkward. Like, it's just the two of us, and I'm talking to my child, and it's just weird. But if there's a camera, and this camera is going to be shown to the entire church, I mean, and they're very sincere. I'm not saying they're faking it. But they say the most tear-jerking things. They're like, Hyeonah, 너 희생을 다 알아. And then it's like, you know, 엄마가 너 얼만큼 사랑했는지. And I'm thinking, why are you telling the camera? Why don't you just tell your child? But for their perspective, they need to tell everyone. And that reality is more meaningful than the one-to-one direction. So this camera has, I mean, technology. That's why Asians love technology, because they can communicate to their children. So children should show gratitude for those struggles. So this is what I wanted to say, that if you really want to appreciate your parents, the Korean American is like, Mom, Dad, I just love you. I just appreciate what you've done for me. And you're most like your parents are like, oh, good, yeah. It's awkward for them. Okay. Maybe if your parents are affectionate, they'll love you, whatever. But to give glory back to them or honor them, you do it in public. And money. Money works. That money is the sixth love language for Asians. But you do it in public. You do it in public. And it's just, it's the way, I mean, and especially not on national TV, but in their, everyone, if everyone in their village knows, and their village means, it usually means their local church. That's really their whole world is their local church. So that's that. Children are children until marriage, right? Children are children. The Western perspective is you are 18, you're an adult, get out of my house, I've done my job. Whereas Asians, you are a child until I die. And I will chengil you until you die too. And then she said, and their mentality is for the sake of the children. That's their motto for life. 아이들 위해서. Everything, children, 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 children. So second generation comes in, and they're all about self-actualization and independence because of our education. We are on this journey to find who I am. Who am I? What are my passions? What am I called to do? Why did God put me on this earth? What is my purpose in life? And our parents are thinking, 무슨 뜻이야? 무슨 말이야, 이거? I came to this country so that you're in. So from their perspective, they're seeing that these are all selfish questions. And from that perspective, do you understand how it could be? It's all me. But we've been educated in that culture to be that way. So there's a little bit of sympathy that needs to go on. So we're based in American Western culture, English language. Even the language itself mimics our culture. So I'm an only child. And I saw that when other people talk, they said, 우리 엄마는, dot, 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 dot. And I'm thinking, 우리 엄마는. 우리 is plural, right? So that must mean there's more. So then I would go to church and I would say, 저의 엄마는, 내 엄마는, or my mother. And people say, no, that's not polite. You need to say, 우리 엄마. I'm like, 우리, but I'm an only child. There's no other brothers or sisters here that I know of. Why do I have to say 우리? But that's the polite thing to say. So I'm like, all right, 우리 엄마는. But the plural is a lot, it's coming from a corporate collective perspective than the individual. So even our grammar mimics that. The Korean language is not 한국말 or 한국어. It's 우리말. It's our language. That's really the polite term to use for the Korean language. It's very interesting, very interesting. Children begin dating outside the culture. So this is happening in the second generation. You have, and thinking is inherently Western. Is inherently Western. But the funny thing is this. Our social interactions are still Asian, but our thinking is still Western. So we like the group games, and we like the social awkward. We like being quiet and deferent, but we think like Westerns. And lastly, by third generation, they're inherently Western. They're inherently Western. If you keep the language with them, they may speak Korean, but because their parents are thinking Western, they're living in a Western context, they're virtually you can't differentiate them between the minority. This is not a Korean-American pattern. This is a Japanese pattern, Romanian pattern. The Hispanic pattern doesn't fit this, just because there's so many versions of Hispanic culture, and in some parts in America, the Hispanics are actually the majority, so it doesn't really fit this to a T, but it kind of does, but not all the way. So you hear stories about, you know who this is? So, I mean, when we saw her, and this is the interesting thing. How many of you, when you see a Korean making it somewhere, how many of you feel like a little bit, just a little bit like, ah? Just a little bit, yes or no? Now, if you don't feel that way, then you must be thoroughly American and Western. But there are still remnants of this in our programming, you understand? So we're like, oh, Chloe, Kim, oh! And you feel this little like, 한국 사람이야? And the Korean, and if they're Korean-American, there's even more of like, I'm Korean-American, she's Korean-American. So she was giving, she got the gold, yeah, whatever, in the whatever she was doing. And she was telling her story. And her story wasn't like, everyone else like, yeah, man, I just put like hours of practice in. I just want to thank my coach. And yeah, I'm thanking my wife. And like, I'm so proud, like, da, da, da. Everyone else was saying this. But you know what she said? I just want to thank my dad. You know, my dad, he woke up like 3 o'clock in the morning every day. We drove 4 hours to the practice. And he waited for me. And my dad. And I was like, that is such a Korean thing to say. Yeah. Not blaming her, but just sociologically pinpointing that even though she's American and she's won the pinnacle of American sports, this is a rebellious sport in its the way it's portrayed. Yeah, you're a snowboarder or whatever. But even this, the pinnacle of American accomplishment, at the core, she's got some Korean-ness and paying respect back to her dad. Yeah? Very interesting. So this is really profound, and this made sense for me. Okay? Western culture is all based on Greek philosophy. I'm not going to get into all this, right? So the Greeks, they had this level of peace in their country. So they sat around, and what arose were these philosophers. These philosophers had nothing to do. So they're just sitting around and thinking about thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And they're thinking, what is this? What is reality and what is truth? And so the mindset is, we need to find what objective reality is. Whatever that is, we need to discover it. And when we discover it, then we have achieved happiness. And this idea has trickled out throughout all of Western civilization. So truth is the ultimate Western virtue. Honesty, accuracy, clean, being clean, you know, like this, like, not clean, body clean, but just, you know, clean articulation and accuracy, precision. Okay? That's what this is saying. So they say stuff like, the unexamined life is not worth living. To find yourself, think for yourself, discovery of reality. Now, Eastern people did not do this. In Asia, you have, you know, these plains, yeah? And you got the Chinese Empire, but within the Chinese Empire, there's bazillions of empires. This empire, this empire, this empire, this empire. So they have no time to sit around and think about thinking. They just have to survive. Okay? I mean, they built the Great Wall because they didn't want the Mongolians to come down. I mean, Koreans are like hiding in the little peninsula. Please don't attack us. But then the Russians, the Japanese, and the Mongolians. But then there's the Chinese. There's the Wu Chinese, the Mu Chinese, the Han Chinese, the Hmong Chinese. All these Chinese are trying to attack us. So we're just trying to survive, right? So the philosophy that has emerged in Asia is, let's just get along. Does that make sense? Whereas in the West, we need to discover and be whatever. But in Asia, let's just... harmony is the ultimate Asian virtue. And I would say this. Even at the expense of truth, we need to be harmonious. Whereas the West says, at the expense of harmony, we need to be... And this is Martin Luther, yeah? Here I stand, that even though this empire says, and I will be the, I will stand for truth. I mean, for me as an American, that just makes me, like, you know, all of our movies, like, though everyone falleth, I shall stand for truth. Whereas in Asia, that's not a virtue. You're an idiot if you do that. No, seriously, you are. You're an idiot. Why are you going to die? Continue to live. You will work it out later. Like, why? This is an Asian virtue. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that all people are, but these are generalizations, you understand. Okay. So here, this is the silver rule that Confucius says. Do not do to others what you do not want done to yourself. Okay. And it sounds like what Jesus said, but that's what they call the silver rule. Jesus's is better. Amen. Because this is not proactive. It's a passive, recessive version of the other version. And then, so they believe in social structure, hierarchy, and stability. So I want to show you this. Okay, so this is the West, you know, truth, and that's the East, harmony. Okay, just the graphic there. Okay, so this is the basis for Eastern Confucian relationships. This is dogma. This is even deeper than the Ten Commandments. Pause for dramatic silence. Okay, so one, you have the rule versus the ruler. Okay, power distance is very, very high. You respect your king, your mayor, your whatever. Father, son. Father is to be revered 100%. Son needs to submit to a father no matter what. Husband, wife. Male is always superior to female. For a wife to be a good wife, she must always submit to husband. And an older brother, 동생, must always submit to 형. or 동생 to 언니, or whatever your version is, 누나. Excuse me. This is dogma, not a guideline. This is legal social law. And if we just adhere to this, we shall achieve what?
Harmony.
Bingo. Does it make sense? Okay, let me just pause. Any questions, any comments, any breathing you want to take here? Is this making sense to a certain degree? Now, I know you know, maybe you might are familiar with this too in terms of theoretical, but this is the funny thing. Koreans don't even know this about themselves. Like, this is part of the OS. This isn't an app that they download and they're playing. This is part of their operating system. So automatically, if you're a woman, if there's a man, you're like, oh, nah. It's a presupposition. Husband, nah. Father, whatever, nah. Whatever. He could be saying all sorts of, you know, foolish, nah, 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 nah. King could be doing all sorts of illegal, scandalous things. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's just dogma. Okay, so this is really, really, really dogma. This isn't like, oh, you should have a good relationship. No. Authority is based on this. There is no bunking the system when it comes to this. Without question, you follow the system, you've achieved harmony. Now you throw some Korean Americans into this nexus who are like, oh, we are all equal. I believe in equal rights. I am a woman. I believe that I should stand up to my husband and tell him what to do once in a while and clean my floor. Or when the son or child says, no, dad, that's not, I'll tell you what to believe, you know, this kind of thing. Or you're going to go up and be anti-political against your political leaders. I mean, that is a threat to harmony. Now, the Koreans aren't thinking like, oh, you're breaking the Confucian relationships and we cannot achieve harmony. They're not thinking this, you understand. But it's in their framework. It's a social sin you're transgressing in that process. Okay. Anyway, I'm not justifying them. I'm wanting us to understand both sides and hopefully get to some kind of resolution here. So Confucianism is order in the family brings order to society. And so Koreans have always been big on family, super big on family. Adultery is like the worst thing ever. You know the top country for orphans for almost about 50 years? Guess which country that was? It's Korea. Korea has exported more kids, more orphans than any other country in the world. Why? Well, there's the human condition has all of its carnal nature, and the Koreans are just as adulterous as any other country. Don't let anyone fool you, okay? But because the social structure is so hard, there's so many children out of wedlock. You guys have heard of the baby box pastor, yeah, in Korea? There's a pastor in Korea. He just has a little, you know, deposit box. People put their children in there, and he takes care of their children. Family in public must always be perfect. Husband, wife, and two children, right? If you don't have two children, something's wrong with you. If you have like nine children, something's definitely wrong with you. Like, you need to have two children. Why two? Meaning you are two. When you die, you need to replace yourself with two more. Okay, so you need to have two. Right now, Korea is in crisis because people are not getting married. And because they're not getting married, they're having kids, but they're not having, you know, the kids the right order of the, anyway, you understand what I'm saying. Filial piety, parental authority and honor. I don't have to talk about that because you guys have been abused by that by a lot. You have social hierarchy, male dominance. Very interesting. When you look at the cultural dynamics, the cultural characteristic of Korea, Korea is a very masculine culture. Very interesting thing is, America is also a very masculine culture. By masculine, it doesn't mean that men are always awesome. It means just very competitive, always wanting the best. So these two cultures, in that sense, really align very well. So guess what? Korean Americans have pressure from the American side to be the best, and they have pressure from the Korean side to be the best. And so Korean Americans have a lot of psychological problems. Amen? Some of you are like crying. You're like, yes, yes, you know. What I'm... Okay, so that's the... feminine cultures, they don't believe in being the best. They believe about taking care of each other and allowing the society to... Anyway, there's cultures like... The Scandinavian cultures, Norway, Finland and Sweden are very feminine in that way. They don't believe in being the best. And by taking care of each other, they've become one of the best countries in the world. So it's an interesting dynamic in that way. And they believe in duty obligation, as said. There's a Korean-American context. They believe honoring the family amongst the community and village. When I became a pastor, my parents they were like, you became a pastor. They were not that way. I wanted to go into medical route. I was doing an internship at Harvard Medical. And then when I went to seminary, they're like, and I'm like, no, I feel called to being a pastor. So my parents were like kind of, upset and like that. Then they told the church, and my local church is like, oh man, Justin could have done that, but now he's going to be a pastor. Like anyone can become a pastor. Like that's where all the people, if you can't get to medical school, go become a pastor. That's what people do. All right, whatever. So I'm like, it wasn't until we started, GYC and got big that it got to Korea. Like the news reached Korea. And when it reached Korea, it got into a little magazine, and this little magazine got to my grandmother's house, and my grandmother lives in the middle of nowhere, on top of a mountain, a small little village, little Maul, and she's just there, and she gets this little thing. And so she's like, this is my grandson! So she's telling everyone in her village, right? All these villagers call my parents back home. And this is where their 고향 is from, right? And they're like, hey, is that your son? So they received all this honor, glory from this their frame of reference. So GYC is now exploding on the world. We're going to like Africa, Portugal, China. And I'm saying, Mom and Dad, I just got back from like Scandinavia. I just got back from Africa. And they're like, whatever. You're just the pastor. I just got back from Argentina. You're just the pastor. But when they got that phone call from a village in the middle of nowhere on some obscure mountain in Korea, this was their whole world. They're like, Justin, did you know that GYC is going to the whole world? That's what I've been saying for the last 9 years. But their frame of reference, they can't handle direct communication. It needs to come from an outside source. And especially if everyone in their 고향 knows, everyone in my village knows. Now, the Korean-American context is maybe your parents or yourself, we don't have that village system anymore. And so the local church has replaced that local village. So if everyone in your church knows, then, and this isn't a Korean Adventist thing. I've done this with Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists, Catholics. If their local Baptist church knows, 우리 딸은 의사 됐어, and they need to tell their local church. Then they made it. They've transcended nirvana, and now they're in the good. Okay? That's just their mentality. So their frame of reference is that village mentality. They're all about the best education in Korea. Oh, in America, sorry. They did a study of the best high schools in America, and guess what? The Korean communities are in every county where the best schools are in America. If there's a bad school system, there's zero Koreans that live in that county. Professions of prestige are the doctor, engineer, business, and lawyers. I'm sure you already know this. No to farmers, no to artists, no to writers, actors, and teachers. Okay? So if you're like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be a writer, when you go, oh no! Okay? And it's usually monetarily motivated, obviously, right? It's money-vated, and that's the reality of it. Now, very interesting that in Korea, teachers have a position of prestige. My brother-in-law is a teacher. He's a high school Korean teacher for seniors. It's amazing the level of prestige he has. Universities court him. They give him free football tickets, free sports tickets, free restaurant tickets to woo him to get the best students. So these teachers are like these, superstar, football, high school football athletes. The teachers are, not the students. The teachers are. But in America, teachers make zero amount of money, not very amount. They're all in teachers' unions and striking, and so that's too much stress for the Korean generation, so they don't want us to be... if you're a teacher, no, full respect to you, but not meaning any disrespect. Taking care of elders is huge, and they want you to stay in the community. Now, this is the thing. Adventists want us to stay in church. Non-Christian Koreans want us to stay in the community. So for people wanting to stay in church, it's not a salvational motivation. It's just stay in our community. That's the pull. And I would say That's not a biblical pull, you know? It should be a genuine fellow. I want you to be part of the saved group, you know, not saved group, you understand, but, you know, it should be a salvation motivation that rather just a cultural affinity towards. The Asian Korean context, this is some Korean family I got off Google. I don't know who they are. Do you know them? Does anyone know them? they're like, yeah, that's my uncle, yeah. So, so what happens is in the church, they blend Christianity with Koreanism. And then the commandments that they really love, I mean, which commandment are they going to love? I mean, that is Confucian dogma in the Bible, hello. So many ways, Sabbath keeping, yeah, you can if you want to. That's recommended. But honor your father and mother, that if God said it, you better do this one, you better keep. And I remember when I was in primary, my teacher taught me honor your father and your mother, and he's like, you know, and I would add, and all adults. And that's what God is saying. He's implying all adults, honor all of them. And I'm like, that's not what the Bible says. No. Don't question your teacher. That's what it says. I'm like, no, that's wrong. That's, you're putting words in. And I quoted Revelation 22 where, or 21 where people, anyway, I won't mention that. So there's other ones here about honoring your parents. They all love that. Serving others above self, because it's a communitarian perspective, that if you serve the community, that's better than serving yourself. So they love that. That follows in. There's emphasis on family, peace, harmony, and love. Very interesting that the Christian churches in North Korea, the Christian churches, there are Christian churches in North Korea, the official church, state churches, when they look at sermons, these elements are okay to talk on. So if you think about it, North Korean communist churches may be preaching the same gospel as messages in Korean-American churches. So if you have your Bibles, I want to ask you, can you open your Bibles? And someone really read really loud, Matthew 10, Matthew 19, Mark 10, Luke. Let's read that really loud and come to really quick. Okay? Just be American, just shout it out. Be an individual and just read it. Okay? No deference here. No, you guys are familiar with that verse, yes? When is the last time you heard that sermon preached in a Korean church? You must hate your mother-in-law. I mean, all these daughter-in-laws like, yeah, I want to hear that sermon. You know, that's awesome. Okay, another one. Matthew 19. Someone, please. Thank you. That is not a friendly verse to Korean-Americans. Yes? Another one. Mark 10. Yes? Okay. That verse is, when you get married, you leave your mother and father, and you cleave with your wife. That is a biblical principle. Okay? Koreans hate this. Korean Americans are pleading for this verse to come true, especially the sons. Luke 14. Someone, please. Okay, so similar verses, but you guys are familiar with that one, yes? And kind of when we read, we kind of glance over those, and we're like, yeah, Jesus is just saying, hey, we need to worship him. But he's actually talking about these relationships, the social structure needs to be broken and rebuilt on a gospel perspective. It does not mean we now, mom, dad, Jesus says I have to hate you, and I have to, I'm not going to do that. No. But it means, how do we rebuild these relationships based on the Bible, rather than just on a cultural perspective? Okay, spiritual family before genetic family, Ephesians 2. We don't have to go there, but the point is this. Do you identify more as a Korean, or do you identify more as a Christian, let alone Adventist? Something Angela said before was very interesting. She says that, hey, we need to pick up all the garbage on this campus because we want people to know how Christian we are. Yeah, hey, amen. But some others are like, hey, we need to clean up because we need to show people how clean Koreans are, you know? So this is like two different motivations for the same thing. Very interesting. Where is your identity in? In Ephesians 2, Paul is saying this, if there's another Christian here who's not Korean, because Jesus has saved his life and Jesus has saved my life, I have more in common with him because Jesus' blood flows in both of us than I do with another unsaved Korean person. Even though genetically we may be Korean and we look the same, I have more affinity to this person, and this trumps anything that does in Korean. Okay? Be spirit. There is a. How do I explain? There is a certain reticence against fanaticism in Asian culture. Yeah. So hey, be spiritual, but be spiritual to the degree where everyone else is spiritual. But don't be too spiritual. Don't go too high. Just be where everyone else is. Just 거기까지만 and just stay there. So it's and so Jesus is these verses that we read are very radical, and Jesus is like, hey, if you're gonna go out, go all out for God, and the culture says, no, well, you can just not that much, and there's a little bit of tension there, and lastly, the Bible really defines women of value in a totally different way. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Okay, we're almost finished here. We'll take a break here. There's pressures from our parents. One, there's education. This is the slide that really it really impressed the older generation. They did not know. Get this. Please listen to this. They did not know that Asian Americans have academic pressure. Like, does that shock anyone? Oh, maybe you're all geniuses and you're like, well, I got straight A's. Now I know we all got straight A's in this room because we all have to. But our lives depended on it. But when we go through college and grad school, I mean, there is academic pressure. But parents have no idea what that means. They have no inkling. They just graduate medical school. It's just really easy. Go in, graduate, become a doctor. What's so hard? Just do it. Well, it's a hard, yes, amen, yes or no? Yeah, doctors? Yes? You're like, nah, it was easy. All right. But there's pressure, grades, school prestige, and degrees. They have no idea about social pressure. They have no idea about the football team and the cheerleaders and about prom, finding a date. You know, all these things. Parents are like, you just go to school, 공부 and come out. What? They have no idea about any of these other pressures. Number two, there's children. Adults do all the decision making. You don't have to make any decisions. You just have to 공부해 and nothing else. And there's pressure there because we want to make our own decisions in that process. In marriage, there is tension where I never talked about with my parents about marriage, but they always assumed that they would have a say. And I always assumed that they would not have a say. That was the assumption. Because we never talked about assumption, assumption, assumption. And one day I brought a Korean girl home and I'm going to marry her. And they're like, Omo. They weren't expecting that to happen. And it did. There's tension between the marriage process. And we talked about staying in the community. Their version of community is church. Church is defined as something that's not that spiritual. It's not language-based and it's not religious. And there's tension in how we define what church really is. Because our version of church is a spiritual church. It is a religious ritual. And there is a language component to that. But for them, they don't believe in, they don't know that. And you see the meme here. We'll see Mr. Kim later on, okay? There's pressures about being the model minority. We need to be smart and obedient. How many were on the smarter half of your class? Okay. The rest of you are on the dumber half of the class. Okay. All right. So there's pressure there. Asians have been known to be have you heard of the term model minority? We don't get in trouble. We don't talk back to the teacher. We usually get good grades. We're usually clean. We take a shower in the morning, that kind of stuff. There's internal pressure with us, especially Koreans. There is latent perfectionism in us. We always want to be the best. Especially in Korean Adventist conservative circles, because of certain theologies, perfectionism enters this, and it gets a little bit kind of out of hand. And then we can talk about that, the history of that. And then understanding love. We talked about this with some people yesterday. You have the five love languages. Yeah, what are they? There's the whatever the five are. Yeah, Koreans don't use the five. There should be a separate book of the love languages. There's only one love language in Korea. It's called sacrifice, right? And it's like, how much, 엄마가 이케고 아빠는, you know, he has two jobs, and he wakes up at 2 in the morning, goes to sleep at like 1 in the morning, when he sleeps 1 hour, and, you know, she made this kimbap of, like, you know, sureugis, you know, she's making all this, you know, and she's cutting her fingernails, making the kimbap, like, whatever makes you cry, and whatever makes you just sacrifice, that is the love language, yes? So this is what happens. Korean Americans have a hard time understanding the cross. It's sacrifice overload, right? So, 엄마 sacrifice, 엄마 sacrifice, 아빠 sacrifice, 아빠 sacrifice, 엄마 sacrifice, 아빠 sacrifice, 할아버지 sacrifice, 아빠 sacrifice, 아빠 sacrifice, 아빠 sacrifice, and you come to church, and then Jesus died for you. I'm like, no, this is just too much sacrifice. And tangibly, we understand the sacrifice of our parents because we see it. Intangibly, we have a hard time. I know we theoretically understand the cross. We get that Jesus died for our sins. But to really emotively identify with Jesus dying for our dying the cross for us, it's a little, we have a different nexus of understanding than any other people. Okay, that's a pressure theologically for us. And so we understand grace in a different way because of that. And there are unspoken responsibility. And this is the last one. We'll take a break after this. Because we don't communicate directly, there are these other things that there may be expectations of us, but because it's not communicated, we don't know what they are. So there's this kind of latent anxiety of we don't know, but we got to deal with. Namely, one thing is our parents dying. How do we go through that? How does that? How does the money will process? Now, in Western cultures, they sit down and talk, Mom and Dad, when you die, what do you want? Well, I want my money to go here. I want people to take care of this. We'll write a will, da, da, da. I did that with my mom and dad. Hey, Mom and Dad, when you die, how do you want to take care of this? Okay. This is not going the way I expected it to go. I just want to be prepared. I'm like, 내가 죽을 때 그때 얘기해야지. 모르겠는데. Okay, but when you die, I can't talk to you because you're dead, so I want to be respectful, and this is not going a respectful way. And it was a horrible discussion that we had. And we'll talk about ways and how to do that. But it's an unexpected responsibility, and it's and we can't talk about it directly with them. Even though they're mom and dad, we can't talk about it. Of the relationships, I mentioned this. The father-son relationship is the most defined. And because it is, it's the most tension-filled in Korean-American cultures. And when the second generation has kids, often we reproduce that tension in the next generation. If we're not careful, we can. The daughter relationship with mom and dad is undefined. And so often daughters they may have a little bit of awkwardness here and there, but it's a little bit more lubricated than the father-son relationship. And then the worst relationship is the mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship because it's totally undefined. In the Confucian definition, when a daughter gets married, she is cut out of her family and she enters into another family and it's not my problem anymore kind of mentality. But we don't live in that kind of society anymore, so that relationship is totally undefined, and we revert to K-pop or K-dramas or American culture to really fill the gaps, and when there's miscommunication, there can be some tension there, okay? My understanding is when people have adopted an American definition, the problems go away. But when one adopts American and one adopts Korean, or it's still undefined, you can get a lot of fireworks and very mayo and kimchi as a result. So I hope this has helped you in some way. I would love to take a 10-minute break. We'll take a little bit of a Q&A, and we'll come back for our second half of the seminar. Is that okay, Tom? Yeah, okay. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, this morning we've talked about some very uniquely us issues. Father, help us to transcend that. And not just ignore it and come above it, but even use these weaknesses. Maybe even consider it as a curse, Lord, that you change our curses into blessings, that you choose the weak things in this world, weak philosophies and weak cultures, and you make them a blessing to the world. Lord, we want to be part of your business of changing that. So, Lord, we are in unique positions, so we ask for your blessing. Help us to understand these dynamics in a way that honors you and honors our parents and our communities and ourselves, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.